In life, my best teachers always encouraged me to set goals for myself. They also said, seize the opportunities. My Latin teacher always drilled into us, carpe diem, seize the day, that great phrase from the writer Horace. So we have to think that in our own lives, we need spiritually also to have goals. The goal to strive for holiness. The goal to one day enter into heaven. We need to seize the day, to seize the opportunities to live life with our Lord each day. We know well that living life as poor human beings, we can get caught up in so many different activities. Time just seems to go by so quickly. We can become burdened with so many responsibilities. So to help us keep our goals, to meet them, to help us seize that day, the church has a liturgical year. So this Sunday, the first Sunday of Advent, we begin a whole new liturgical year. We'll have the preparation for the coming of Christ at Christmas, the season of Advent, then the Christmas season followed by ordinary time, interrupted by Lent, preparing for Easter, the Easter celebration, back to ordinary time. Ordinary time being that normal part of the year where we're focusing on Christ's public ministry. But every year we go through a liturgical year because it helps us refocus, set the goals once again, seize the opportunity to become closer to our Lord. For Advent, we have 4 weeks this year. How wonderful. We have four Advent candles on our Advent wreath. So think of it this way, that just as the prophet Isaiah, about 700 years before our Lord, was prophesying the coming of a Messiah who would save Israel, free them from slavery of sin, and bring about a new kingdom of God, well, we have 4 weeks to prepare for the birth of Christ. The birth, in one sense, of Jesus having been born at that first Christmas. We want to live that. But we also have Christ coming again, some point, coming at that end of time. We have Christ now wanting to come into our lives. So this wreath being a circle reminds us of the eternity of God without beginning or end. The fresh plant material reminds us of everlasting life. So that's really the goal, isn't it? The goal to share our life with God, to welcome Him into our life, to have that goal of entering heaven one day and sharing everlasting life. The 4 candles, so 3 purple, 1 rose. The 3 purple, purple being a sign of penance, of preparation. Rose because it's the middle candle, the day of Gaudete Sunday, the midpoint, where we rejoice because we're halfway there. And then there's the little light, the light that penetrates the darkness. The goal is then, by seizing this opportunity of Advent, that light of Christ will grow stronger in our own souls and will reflect that light, like beacons of light in this world, to others. So what do we do then, this Advent, to open up our hearts, to seize the day, to accomplish the goal? Well, we could look at it just from our normal Christmas preparation. As I was coming here to church, I saw several cars with Christmas trees on their roofs, on the roofs of their cars, and I thought, well, here we are starting already, and some neighbors are decorating, and that's all good. But before we can decorate, as my mom always said, you have to clean. You have to clean the house. Why put decorations over a dirty house, right? So we have to clean our soul. So the one important goal, the one important moment to seize, or the opportunity to seize this Advent, is to take time for confession, to do that good examination of conscience and go to confession, receiving forgiveness. Now, I know for some here that confession is a regular spiritual practice every month. For some here, it's been a long time. I know that for some, it may have been since First Communion, or confirmation, or even marriage. Now's the time to seize the opportunity. Of course, people always will have some excuse like, well, you know, a priest was mean to me once. Well, I had mean teachers. I didn't drop out of school. I had hard bosses. I didn't drop out and become unemployed for the rest of my life. No, you find a different one to go to. Or some people will say, well, oh, I can just tell God my sins and he'll forgive me. How do you know he's listening? Think of that. How do you know you're forgiven? Think of that. Christ instituted the sacrament of penance. We have seven sacraments. On the night of Easter, Jesus appeared to his apostles, having risen from the dead, having conquered sin by offering the sacrifice on the cross, and said to his apostles, what sins you forgive, they are forgiven. He gave them the power through the Holy Spirit to forgive sins. Yes, the priest is the minister of the sacrament. Christ is the one who actually performs the sacraments. The priest is the minister. But just as a person asks a priest to baptize a baby, to confect the Eucharist at Mass, perhaps to anoint someone who's dying or is just sick, or to perform a marriage ritual, so we go to a priest to receive forgiveness for our sin. Seize the opportunity. Don't let the excuses of Satan prevent you from going to confession. The most important activity this Advent to prepare for our Lord is to make that good confession. How beautiful it is to hear those words of absolution when the priest says, I forgive you. Because then all the garbage is put aside. All the chains that we drag around with our old past failures and regrets, all those are cut off, we're set free. Take the time. No excuse. And remember this image too. You'll be looking at Christmas trees. St. Paul says, Christ died on a tree for us. How can we really enjoy a Christmas tree if we can't look to that tree called a cross on which our Lord and Savior hung to forgive our sins? And know, he forgives our sins through this beautiful sacrament. So having cleaned the house of our soul, we could think then about making it warm, just like we want to make our own home warm to receive guests. Well, here we have to put some fuel in the furnace. So to put the fuel in the furnace of our soul, make sure you take time during Advent to do some prayer. Now, I hope all of you do pray, but I mean real prayer. Prayer like saying the rosary and meditating on those different mysteries that allow us to reflect on the life of Christ and also look to our Blessed Mother, who always leads us closer to Christ. Or, I would encourage you, read the Gospel of St. Matthew. For this liturgical year, we will be journeying through St. Matthew's Gospel. There's 28 chapters, and we have at least 28 days between now and Christmas. You could easily read the whole Gospel of Matthew this Advent. Of course, these things can also be done as a family. Say a family rosary, or read the passages together. If you have little ones, maybe it's just a decade of the rosary, or maybe it's more the kids' Bible kind of story. But either way, these can be family prayer times that help prepare you for Christmas. Some of this spiritual preparation can be fun. So if we have 4 weekends of Advent this year, how wonderful, make one a family night. And with that, watch something spiritual. I think that movies like The Christmas Carol with George C. Scott, or It's a Wonderful Life, or those little cartoons, A Charlie Brown Christmas, or The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, the original cartoon version, are wonderful ways to meditate on the meaning of Christmas. They have a beautiful Christian message in those movies. So take that time. It could be a wonderful family night. So having added fuel to the furnace of our soul, so we now have a clean soul, we have a warm soul ready to greet our Lord, make sure we do decorate it. So what do we do to decorate? Well, St. Paul tells us, put on the good deeds. So the good deeds. I always, every year, encourage families to have maybe an Advent calendar, but this time have a blank calendar. And each day write in the one good deed you did to help someone else. So it could be a prayer. It could be helping a neighbor. Could be helping a stranger. One good deed each day. The Holy Spirit will open your eyes to the good deeds. If you have little ones, a nice tradition is set up your little nativity creche and maybe have your child write down on a piece of paper the good deed and put that in the manger scene each night. Or if you have really little ones, it could be a little piece of straw. But the idea is that Jesus has a warm place to live when he's born, and that warm place is because of our good deeds. That's how we want to decorate our lives. After all, my brothers and sisters, when this time frame of life ends and we face God, what do we take with us? Nothing material, only those good deeds that we have done. So that's our Advent preparation. But there's one aspect, too, that we must not forget. And St. Paul reminds us of this so beautifully. St. Paul tells us, let us conduct ourselves properly as in the day, not in orgies or drunkenness, not in promiscuity and lust, not in rivalry and jealousy. We have to bear witness to the light of Christ that's in our soul. We have to bring that light to others. So during this Advent time, there will be many different gatherings, whether gatherings in the neighborhood, your place of work, school, and so on. Be on guard. Remember, you're called to bear the light of Christ. Don't give in to the gossip, maybe the little complaining, or the overindulgence in food and drink. Always remember, you're called to be the Christian. Also, perhaps you're going to be with people who know nothing about real Christmas. They might have pagan Christmas, secular Christmas, but they don't know anything about the real Christmas. Look at this as the opportunity to talk about your faith, to talk about how important a living faith united with a church is in your own life. So, my brothers and sisters, we begin a new liturgical year. We want to seize the opportunity. We want to renew that goal of wanting to be holy, of growing in our relationship with our Lord, of one day entering heaven. If we keep all of this in mind, then when Christmas Day does come and we gather here for Holy Mass, we'll know that Christ has truly been born in our lives. May God bless you.